everybody. This is a daily show that's very different because, well, we try to be real honest with you. We try to be transparent, and we hold no punches. So look for us whenever you can. More and more people are doing so every day. Let's go with our truth bombs. What do you say? Truth bomb number one. Iran has stood toe-to-toe with Israel, and in their mutual attacks, there are no winners. Truth bomb number two. Piers Morgan is a propagandist, what a surprise, who doesn't see it that way. Truth bomb number three. When you have to depend on Piers Morgan for your defense, you need a new strategy. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. So every once in a while, you get a piece of videotape that you can't just stop watching, right? And it's fascinating to be able to do it. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to break down a piece of tape on a British channel. And to discuss this bizarre moment that recently took place on British television, I've enlisted the support of two gentlemen who host a show themselves. It's called The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. They are political scientist Dr. Wilmer Leon and political analyst and commentator Mr. Garland Nixon. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with this. We're going to play for you The World According to a guy I think is one of the most biased journalists in the Western media, a guy who seems to get his talking points almost either directly from the U.S. State Department or maybe the British MI6, who probably may be writing his scripts for all we know. In other words, according to him, at this particular moment in time, Israel is the greatest country in the world. They are winners, and everything they do is awesome, whereas Iran is just plain bad, really, really bad people, and all Iranians are losers. Here we go.
The general view in the West is that Iran's attack on Israel was an abject failure. Whether or not it was a genuine attempt to wound the Israeli state or just a billion-dollar fireworks display, it didn't work. 99% of the drones and missiles were shot down by Israel's allies and its Iron Dome. Israel looks tough again, Iran looks weak. And after months of rebukes from its allies over the Gaza war, Israel's powerful friends have again made their allegiance clear.
They were shot down because Iran gave them 5 hours' notice and told them, they're coming here, get ready so you can shoot them down. Does he not know this?
One of the big issues with his statement is he doesn't take into account what Iran's objective was.
Correct.
In order to determine success or failure, you first have to understand what was Iran trying to do.
Show
they
of force.
They coordinated. They didn't attack Israel.
No.
They responded to an illegal attack.
An assassination.
They coordinated it with the United States using the base of international law to determine the targets that they would hit.
But according to Piers Morgan, it was the most unbelievable defensive show of defense in the history of modern warfare. Was he reading this?
One of the things that he said was a dead giveaway. He said Israel and its allies. In fact, Israel was unable to protect itself from an attack that wasn't even intended as a full frontal military attack. They brought in the United States, the UK, and France. One of the things that we learned is that Israel is completely unable to defend itself from an air attack. And if France and the UK and the US go home, they're pretty much naked militarily.
So they did it, in other words, with Dr. Wilmer, who's the richest guy here, with all of his tax money that he pays, essentially.
Absolutely.
Which had nothing to do with Israel.
Absolutely.
All right, so here's Piers Morgan now pushing his anti-Iran propaganda, even going on to suggest that almost all Iranians hate their government. So obviously, being a journalist, I did a little work on this, and I did a little research, and I did the old Googles, which is really easy. Keep in mind, I found, Gallup just conducted a poll in Iran, and they found that Iranians approve much more of their leader than Americans approve of President Biden. Go.
The Iranian regime is loathed by its own people. Enemies mean survival. It had to be seen to respond to the Israeli attack on its consulate in Syria. And to those who glibly say Iran has the right to defend itself and America would respond with force, which rock have you been living under?
So I checked. He's right. The people in Iran are not crazy about their ayatollahs. 43% of the people only approve of them. But in our government, only 35 to 36% of the American people now approve of President Biden. So,
well, and you know, it's
hello.
It's terrible that we get this kind of propaganda about other countries. If you just a couple months ago in Russia, President Putin, according to our own polls,
correct,
had 86% approval rating. He won with 87% of the vote, and they said he stole it. So now, at 43%, which is what Joe Biden could only pray for 43% approval here, and that's somehow disapproval rating. So Piers Morgan is doing nothing but taking any kind of information that he can, never mind. He didn't even use numbers.
Right.
He just said they're bad guys and nobody likes them.
Nobody
it's
likes
childish.
Them.
Nobody likes him.
It sounds like high school stuff. Nobody likes you. You know that, Wilmer. Nobody likes you.
Well, that I know.
That's your family.
Well, my dog. And my wife every now and then. Not only did Putin get 86%, there was 70% turnout in that election.
So, same as Xi, by the way, in China.
Exactly.
Apparently, he has 79%.
I've been to Iran twice, and they're happy with their government.
Yeah. They have their problems.
I'm not here to tell you that I want to live under their rules.
But, and I think most of the young people there are fighting their government out in the open to change the rules, and it's happening.
And here's what
it's happening. Iran is modernizing, believe it or not.
The point that I wanted to make was when you go and you just walk the streets and talk to people, you are amazed at how well informed they are.
And the stated policy of the United States is to sanction Iran, so that the people will suffer and turn against their government. So we're doing every effort we can to turn them against their government, we still got 43%.
That's such a good point. Look, I'm not here to back Iran by any means or their system, but nothing is ever absolute, including Iran's ties to proxies, for examples. Unless you're an absolutist, which in my book is what makes you a propagandist. So, speaking of Iran's connections to proxies, which I hear people say all the time, they control Yemen, they control Hezbollah. Actually, they don't. But let's hear Mr. Piers Morgan's version of this.
Iran has been poking the hornet's nest through proxies for years. Hezbollah attacks Israel from Lebanon in the north. The Houthis in Yemen have attacked vessels in the Red Sea more than 60 times in the last 6 months alone. Hamas began its diabolical war in Gaza by invading Israel with Iran's funding and full-throated support. Fundamentally, Iran doesn't believe Israel has a right to exist. It wants to encircle the country with paramilitary groups and ultimately dominate the region. But like all pariah states, it profits from chaos. And like all dictatorships, its people suffer the most.
Actually, from my reading, I don't know what you gentlemen, you know, have read on this. My reading is that Iran, on more cases than not, has actually had to hold back its proxies so they wouldn't do what he says they do on behalf of Iran. Iran has told the Houthis, look, calm down. They've also held back Hezbollah on many occasions. So it's not like Israel, according to my read of this, is telling its proxies what to do. Do they have proxies? Do they have governments that they're allies? Yes, they do. And so do we. So what do you make of this?
Well, I take issue with, I differentiate between allies and proxies, first of all. And it's important to understand the history of the region and the cultures in the region. They talk about the Houthis in Yemen. Ansar Allah. What does Ansar Allah mean? Helpers of God. They go back thousands of years, all the way back to the prophet. So, once again, in order to understand what's really going on and why, you have to understand the history, you have to understand the culture, and when you do that, you'll see they don't operate the same way we operate.
Hmm. Now, go ahead.
Well, we just gave, or supposedly, we'll get into that, $8 billion to separatists who in a province of China that our State Department formally recognizes as a province of China. Just gave billions of dollars to a bunch of guys marching around sporting the iconography of the Third Reich. We've got audio of Germans talking about working with them to attack Russia. That is the very definition of a proxy.
Yeah.
So the unmitigated gall to point to Iran with the devious things that we're involved in It takes a lot of gall.
I found that funny as well. Now, by the way, here's another one. Imagine having an Iranian and having to hear those arguments about being an Iranian, I should say, and having to hear those arguments about your country. Well, this is what a Tehran professor, Mohammad Mirandi, who you've seen from time to time, we've interviewed him here, and he's also appeared, I think, with you gentlemen,
yes,
right?
Yes, he does, regularly.
So that's what Mirandi has to come on now after hearing all this horrible stuff about his country from Piers Morgan. When he finally got a chance to speak, Mirandi did, he addressed why Iran is against Israel. He basically said, this is why we have a problem with Israel. Why is it so hard for you to understand this? It has to do with Gaza. Go.
The view from Tehran is quite clear. You know quite well, I know quite well, your viewers know quite well, that the Israeli regime is carrying out genocide. And this stems from an ethno-supremacist ideology. It stems from apartheid. And this is unacceptable. And the people who lived on that land, they have been expelled. The people in Gaza, they live in a concentration camp, now a death camp.
A death camp. It's almost like, you want to know why we have a problem with Israel? Because it's apartheid. We hated South Africa, we hate Israel. That's our point of view. Legitimate response?
Very legitimate response, and understand that one of the last surviving supporters of the South African regime was Israel. Hmm. So, it
really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Their point there was they have very few friends, and South Africa is one of their few remaining friends. Hmm. This is about genocide. And who can support genocide the same way we have to ask as Americans, why are our tax dollars going to Ukraine to support Nazis?
So what I hear him saying there, Mirandi, is it's not that we hate Israel, it's that we hate what Israel is doing to Palestinians. Once Israel stops doing that to Palestinians, we'll stop hating Israel.
Well,
that's the argument?
Because you can go back and look at the census data from the 20s and the 30s, almost to the 40s, and you can look at Palestinians and Jews living in peace.
Yeah.
Right, and here's the other thing too. I think that I get from what he's saying, and that is, we're not talking about good guys and bad guys, or about who we like or don't like. There are specific actions that are going on that are illegal under international law, and they're immoral, and we're opposing these actions. And I would add this: who is Piers Morgan speaking for? Certainly not the British people, because they're in the streets by the millions, agreeing with Dr. Mirandi.
Yeah, he's speaking for the media. And I guess, as I said earlier, MI6 and the Pentagon and the U.S. State Department.
And the National Endowment for Democracy.
By the way, he says something else, which is fascinating. He talks about what's happening with the media. And then, Mirandi, you're about to hear this. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I want you to watch this. He's kind of pointing his finger at the media, but as he's pointing his finger at the media, you get the sense he's pointing his finger at Piers Morgan and almost saying to him, you lie to your viewers every single night. And I'm gonna tell you how you're lying. And he mentions a couple of hotspots in the world where that's taking place. Stay with us, because I'm gonna take you through that, and then I'm gonna get your gentleman's response to that. We'll be right back. Thank you.
there's no end in sight over how you're going to continue to destroy the Earth.
It's the case of the madness of the people.
I tried to go to the gym, but I'm certainly not ready to fight Russia.
This is all so absurd.
This is third world lunacy. Brainwashing.
As Ursula von der Leyen likes to say, we have the tools.
Why don't we just start with stability and business deals?
In what planet are you living on now?
We have very good propaganda in our press here in Europe.
I think we don't know the aftermath.
Anytime that you're not allowed to ask questions, you should ask all of the questions.
The more questions asked, the better the answers will be.
So I promised you this one. This is like the best line of the night, really, because it's the one moment where in this conversation, and it really is a fascinating conversation. And by the way, let me say this also. Kudos to Piers Morgan for having this guy on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think too often in the media, and boy, that's certainly true in this country, once you go on CNN or MSNBC or any of these places and you say something contrary to the line that they feel you should say, you're not going to be invited back on. And you can't be somebody who disagrees with them. You have to go there and agree with them. So, and that's a shame, and we're going to talk more about that later. But here is the moment when Professor Morandi says enough. To a certain extent, his argument here is really strong, because what he's saying is the problem here is not just the facts. It's that you're only interpreting the facts as you want to, and you're essentially, you and others and the BBC, are lying to your people. Here, let him say it.
Piers, let me give you a word of advice. Your media outlets, regardless of whether Russia or Ukraine is good or bad, that is another issue. Your media outlets in the West have been misleading the people for 2 years now, saying Ukraine is winning, Ukraine is winning. Suddenly, everyone is saying Ukraine is falling apart. Dishonest narratives and reporting dishonestly to your own people ultimately hurt the people of England and Europe and the United States. And your endless wars based upon this nonsense and this misinformation lead to huge waves of refugees. And then the people of Europe feel overwhelmed by these refugees that you yourself brought upon yourself.
Wow.
He kind of laid into him there, didn't he?
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is what he said, you know, that he put a lot in a few sentences.
Yeah.
I mean, I was amazed at how much information he could pack
in a minute or two.
Yeah, but what he showed here was that the media isn't really a media.
Man.
That the media is deliberately misleading the people, and it's not in the best interest of the people. And not only are they suffering because they don't get the actual knowledge that they need, but they're suffering from the perspective of there's an issue with immigration that shouldn't be there other than for the actions taken by the government.
Yeah,
and the government has to lie to them so they won't know the truth. That's what I got.
That's why I thought that moment was so special, because one of the things when I watched this video and decided that I wanted to do an analysis segment on it was that I found that Piers Morgan was saying things, like we said at the very beginning, that just weren't true. It's like, why would you go out and say, look at amazing how Israel was able to block all of those drones, when you should know, if you just did any little cursory reading or any kind of Google search, that Iran wanted them knocked down, that Iran said, we're going to, you know, 5 hours from now, you're going to get those missiles. So that should give you plenty of time to point your aerial assault system so that you can knock everything down. And then he goes on the air and says, it's amazing how they were able to do this. That's a lie.
Or we've been hearing, you know, the Russians fired 50 missiles and Ukraine shot down 51.
Yeah.
But for some reason, things blew up all over the area.
Oh, yeah. The Ukraine war has just been one giant lie after another one. And it's almost like they make it sound like everything that Ukraine does is wonderful. And everything that Russia does is wrong. It's crazy. Go ahead.
And the base that was hit is one of the most highly protected bases in the world.
Mm.
And the runways were destroyed. They gave them enough advance notice so that their newly purchased F-35s could be moved out of the area. Mm. But one of the things that really struck me about the interview was how direct Dr. Morandi was.
Yes.
Because whether it's the Chinese, whether it's Secretary Lavrov, or whether it's the president of Iran, they tend to be much more subtle in their conversations.
Yeah.
Rarely, particularly when they're dressing you down, they are much more subtle, much more nuanced in what they say. At one point, he looked at Piers Morgan and said, "I'm smirking at you because you're lying."
Let me ask you guys something. Do you think Piers Morgan does this because he's just trying to get a lot of people to watch, so he's poking the bear, or do you think he really believes this stuff he's spouting?
I don't think it matters. I think he's apathetic about the truth. I think if it happens to be true, that's fine. If not, that he knows that there is a narrative that he has to be a part of.
Can you do that?
No.
Have you ever done that on your radio show?
No. That's why
You've never gone with a topic where you said, "This is going to get us a lot of people. I mean, this is great. Let's do it, even though it's not really all that true, or I don't believe it."
No, me neither.
I can't do it.
No.
I'm a really crappy liar.
That's why I'm no longer on CNN, and that's why I'm no longer on MSNBC.
That's why I'm no longer on Fox.
Join the club. Nobody wants us, so we'll just have to kind of do this little thing between ourselves here.
That's why we hang out with you.
Well, let me tell you something. Our ratings and the number of people that we are reaching right now with this show is probably about 700 million more than what they reach on CNN or Fox or MSNBC. So you maybe made the right choice. Here's Mirandi now. So do we need an applause for that or something? Here's Mirandi now suggesting to Mr. Morgan that his ethno-supremacy, what an interesting choice of words, his ethno-supremacy is not a good thing, and that all apartheid states like South Africa and Israel must be challenged. Here it is.
The West has brought about this situation. Whatever crimes that they've committed against Jews and Gypsies and Slavs, they have to pay for it themselves. They can't take it out on the Palestinian people. So the Iranians, along with almost everyone else in the world, except for some people in your part of the world, believe that the apartheid regime has to come to an end. And by coming to an end, it means that all people of that land have to be able to live as equal human beings. I know that sounds very crazy, but ethno-supremacism isn't a good thing.
Ethno-supremacism isn't a good thing. And I know it sounds crazy to you, Pierce, but you know what? People should be allowed to live in freedom.
An artful use of sarcasm, I may say. But what I like about what he did was he ended up by not saying, you know, we want to destroy Israel, kill the Israeli people, we want to do anything that would make their lives worse. He's saying we want a just society. All he requests is justice for all people, including the Israeli civilians.
Yeah. No, I thought that was very artful. The way he kind of scissored him there. You wanted to say, Doctor?
Well, and also underlying a lot of that is the Zionist rhetoric is based on a lie. And what has happened now is the covers have been pulled off of that lie. Protection. Netanyahu has built a whole mythology around, "I'm here to protect you from them." And now what's being found out is you can't do it. And an earlier point, Garland, you mentioned that if the United States and France were to leave, Israel can't protect itself. What we found out is with the USS Eisenhower sitting in the Mediterranean, they still couldn't protect themselves.
It really is starting to look like the fallout from this is going to be quite dire for the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm beginning to wonder who the hell is going to even go out and vote this year in the United States? Who's left to vote here? If the young people aren't going to vote, if Arabs aren't going to vote, if most ethnic people aren't going to vote, who's left to vote for either of these candidates?
Yeah, what we're looking at is that, you know, the Biden administration, I would say these things have been going on for a while, but the Biden administration has collapsed their party. You know, parties are a conglomeration of various groups with various interests, and one by one, they're pushing the groups away. And I'll say this: this is what happens when the neocons, which I just call fascists, come to power. They only focus on war and external things, and they could care less about the people. And the people tend to get angry.
Yeah, and it was kind of sad this week to see that apparently Speaker Johnson had met with former President Trump, who kind of gave him the go-ahead on the voting for the money for Ukraine and the money for Taiwan and the money for Israel. So, you know, he's supposed to be less hawkish than Biden. I don't know about that.
Oh, well, no. No. And because the war funding is a Biden bill, and Johnson was right there to facilitate the whole process coming out of Congress. And
but he met with Donald Trump. He went to Mar-a-Lago, met with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said, no, I think you should go ahead and approve it. So what happened to the non-war guy?
Well, that was a myth. Yeah. That was another myth. And when you look at the data, what I think we're going to see is when we the people that are going to stay home, that are not going to turn out, and that's going to be, we always know voter turnout is key in any election, but this one, getting people to come to the polls is going to be a Herculean challenge here.
Yeah, like pulling teeth. Right. Yeah. It should be interesting to watch. And I'm glad we have you guys to watch it with us. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good
Pleasure.
Show. Interesting conversation. And send my regards to my dear friend Pierce Morgan. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. Simple, really. I want to de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little tank boxes. Truth don't live in boxes. Now, truth is everywhere, which is why we try to look for it everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact.